KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We are here Monday night to rock you out with all the exciting geek stuff that you've been craving over the weekend. You watched your bowls of Super, and now you're like, I need the geek. I need it. I'm done with Deflategate and all that nonsense. Bring on the good stuff. Well, we've got it, and it's about to be brought in. Now, before we bring that, there's something that you out there, the listening audience, can bring to the show. Caleb.
That's right. That it. What you can bring is yourselves, your input, your thoughts, your feelings about the things that we talk about. And you can do that at facebook.com/robotsattackshow or at twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those two are open right now in the background, and we will check them. And if you throw information there, we will give you a shout out on the air.
That's right. All right. Let's talk about some new releases coming out this week. First off, in the theater, we have Jupiter Ascending. Jupiter Jones was born under a night sky, with science predicting that she was destined for great things. Now grown, Jupiter dreams of the stars, but wakes up to the cold reality of a job cleaning other people's houses and an endless run of bad breaks. Now, right there, you might sound like, all right, maybe this is some sort of romantic
boring
comedy or something like that, or, you know, teen drama or something like that. Well, only when Kane, a genetically engineered ex-military hunter, say what, arrives on Earth to track her down, does Jupiter begin to glimpse the fate that has been waiting for her all along.
Is that Tatum?
That is Tatum.
Okay.
And if
Elf Tatum.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just genetically engineered Elf Tatum.
Right.
If you're in the mood for something a little more fantasy, there's Seventh Son. In a long time past, an evil is about to be unleashed that will reignite the war between supernatural forces and humankind. Master Gregory, played by Jeff Bridges, the last of the Falcon Knights, has imprisoned the malevolent, powerful witch Mother Malkin, played by Julianne Moore, many years ago, but now she has escaped and is seeking vengeance. Summoning her followers of every incarnation, Mother Malkin is preparing to unleash her terrible wrath on the unsuspecting world. And in something completely different, the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, SpongeBob goes on a quest to recover a stolen recipe that takes him to our world, where he tangles with a pirate.
Okay.
I think that pirate is played by Antonio Banderas.
I think I saw that on the previews.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think before they had David Hasselhoff in one of the SpongeBob movies.
Yeah, he was in the first one. Yep.
Makes sense.
No.
So from the theatre to the small screen, or perhaps if you have a projector, a big screen as well. But Blu-rays and DVDs, to be specific, you might be interested in Dracula Untold. Well, maybe it doesn't sound quite like that in this one, since they're always making him edgy and new, quote-unquote.
And American.
And very American. see, ever the Lord of Night, this time they seek to tell how Vlad the Impaler became the shadow which consumes the blood of the living to sustain his immortal life. And to change directions completely is The Best of Me on Blu-ray and DVD. True love transcends time, or so the songs say. When two former high school sweethearts return home, they find that the flames of love return again. But that which drove them apart before still remains. Can love triumph? And again, changing gears, John Wick on Blu-ray and DVD. Before his wife's death, she gave John a puppy with the promise that he would not forget how to love. Years later, his car catches the eye of a crime lord's son, and when he is unwilling to sell, the car is taken by force and his dog is killed. Let's see, where did I... So with his emotional centers gone, John returns to his roots, the most feared hitman in the underworld, and he's out for blood.
Dang. Some serious roots.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to round it out with another...
Some wicked roots.
Wicked roots.
Yeah.
And it does take place in New York, so maybe there is someone around there saying wicked. Let's see. Running out with Hector and the Search for Happiness on DVD. Hector is an eccentric, likable psychiatrist who realizes that his patients aren't really improving their happiness, and his own is middling at best. So he decides to answer the question once and for all, can humans find true happiness? Mm-hmm.
That's a big question.
Yeah, featuring Simon Pegg.
I wish him luck on his quest.
Indeed. We all do.
Okay, meanwhile, in video games, it's sort of a light week. Number one, we have Grow Home coming out on the 4th. You're playing as a robot searching for new plant life to help oxygenate his home world. The game touts...
Why do robots need oxygen?
Well, I think he was sent as like a probe or something like that.
That makes more sense.
I don't know. Maybe it's a robot that needs oxygen. That would be an interesting part of the story
that
as well.
That would.
No.
But anyway, beyond that, it is touting its unique climbing-based gameplay, and it sounds like if it's going to be one of those where if you fall, it's going to be some fun trying to get back where you were. So count that as a bonus for difficulty, or don't want to touch it, however you want to do it. Meanwhile, Game of Thrones is coming out again in episode 2. Let's see, on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. On the 3rd, it's coming to PC, PS3, Mac, and PS4. On the 4th, it's coming to the Xbox ecosystem. On the 5th, it's coming to iPhone and Android. It's more from the well-received Choice Adventure series by Telltale Games. And that's it for games.
Alrighty. And other storytelling mediums, which are full of possibly strange choices. We have Superman number 38. The conclusion of the story arc will put both Clark and Superman into a position where they must make very tough choices. And apparently they're also giving Superman new powers. Sure how that's going to go, but we'll have to see.
Create spam with his eyes.
That would be quite the feat. Over at Marvel Studios,
do
or
everything else. So,
No, is this like spam?
Might as well kitchen sink it.
Like the meat, or spam
meat
like
with quotes.
It makes
spam.
More sense. Like the email thing, he could with his laser eyes engrave like spam messages onto anything. Okay. So
laser eyes,
he'll get laser printing capabilities.
Let's see. Across town at Marvel, it's Guardians of the Galaxy and the X-Men, The Black Vortex, Alpha, number 1. Whew, that's quite the title. Star-Lord will need all his guile and skill to pull off this latest job. And I'm really curious how the X-Men are going to figure into this, because it's Guardians of the Galaxy and the X-Men, so... They're going into space, apparently, or space is coming to them, whichever comes first. Let's see. Cross Country at Dark Horse, it's Hellboy and the BPRD, number 3. Dissension within the ranks, danger on all sides. Can Big Red handle it? Then from Image, it's Saga, number 25. It's sci-fi epic awesome. And it's also on Wild Cool's recommendation list. And speaking of Wild Cool's recommendation list, they're coming up next.
Nice.
The Humans, number 4, also getting a mention. Nameless, number 1. It's a new story by Grant Morrison. And there's new Stray Bullets. And Miracle Man number 15. This one's actually kind of a remastering of an old title, but the story was sort of is early Grant Morrison. It was kind of one of the first, like, not quite as deconstructionist as Watchmen, but it was kind of one of the early ones to start opening up the idea of what is a superhero in a world that may not be as super as this person. So it's kind of kind of interesting there.
Hmm.
That so rounds out the
comics.
Yes, it does.
Right. Looking for a distinctive Valentine's gift, a bouquet of roses will last a week, but a rose bush will bloom through the year.
Ooh.
With your donation of $60, Guadalupe River Park Conservancy will help you select the perfect rose and prepare a gift box for your Valentine.
Aww.
Contact the Guadalupe River Park Conservancy at www.grpg.org or at 408-298-7657 for more information.
Valentine's is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and to round out the last of the new releases, we have some music. We've got from John Carpenter, The Lost Themes, the debut non-soundtrack release for the director, best known for his horror films, was improvised instrumental music with his son, Cody. We have a album from Bob Dylan, Shadows in the Night, produced by Jack Frost, the 36th studio release for the singer-songwriter, features Goodness. Pop standards popularized by Frank Sinatra. That should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's an album by Diana Krall called Wallflower, postponed from its October 2014 release due to pneumonia. The 12th full-length studio release from the Canadian jazz singer features songs that inspired her and was produced by David Foster. We've got an album from Butch Walker called Afraid of Ghosts. Are you afraid of ghosts?
Kind of. They're a little freaky.
Mm. Well, the 7th full-length release for the singer-songwriter producer was produced by Ryan Adams, not to be confused by Bryan Adams.
Okay.
And feature guest appearances from Johnny Depp, not to be confused by someone else named Johnny Depp, Bob Mood, and Mike Viola. And then last but not least, we have All We Are with their album All We Are. It's the debut full-length release for the British bass trio of Luis Santos, Guro Gickling, and Rick O'Flynn, was produced by Dan Carey, not to be confused by Dana Carey.
Mm. Or Jim Carey.
Mm-hmm. You know, we just want to help, you know, so people aren't confused by confusing things. Mm-hmm. Anyway, hopefully something out of those piqued your interest. If not, well, we did our best. We leave the rest to you.
The internets are full of all the rest of the list that we couldn't put in the show. So
exactly.
Check
so we've got a wonderful show tonight for you. We are going to continue our top 10 mm-hmm. from each of us of our things we're excited for this year. Last week, we did 10 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight, we're doing
5 through 1.
So you definitely want to stick around for that in the core. But of course, we'll have some news right after this music break, and let's tease some news.
Alrighty. Let's see. How about unboiling an egg?
That's a heck of a tease right there. Okay. If you were a fan of the bouncer game way back when.
Whoa, that's reaching back a bit.
Yeah, just because it gave a taste of some fighter combat in a Square Enix game. Well, they're making another foray into the versus fighting genre.
Ooh.
All right. Well, I'm intrigued. I bet you are out there. So stick around for the news right after this music break here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to the news here. Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. Who has our first story?
Okay, I'll start it off.
Alrighty. All right.
Okay, as I teased before, Square Enix is venturing into fighter territory. For now, it's just going to be actual arcade systems, but it's a one-on-one game called School of Ragnarok, and it's kind of interesting.
Not School of Regular Rock?
That's actually sort of the thing that I wonder if it's going to end up coming over here just because it's a perfect play on words for that. But apparently there's no plans for it right now, but since Japan still has a bustling arcade industry, that's where it is at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still kind of interesting because it's not your typical, like, side-by-side fighter. It looks like it's more of the kind of third-person, back-behind view, sort of like the Naruto Shippuden series.
Okay.
With a lot more roaming around and magical attacks and stuff like that.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. But yeah, it looks pretty interesting. For some reason, there's schoolgirls fighting.
Well, it is Japan, after all.
Yeah.
Why? They would just...
I've never seen that before, so
yeah.
That's unique.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They would just stop fighting and just talk it out.
Mm-hmm, although they do seem to have, like, magical pets of different sorts. So I think there's some sort of evolution of animals that turns sort of little chibi figures into more massive dragon-like animals. So that's kind of unique, too.
Huh. Very cool. So from... video games with no connection to eggs. Well, no. We have the little creatures that evolve upwards, okay. And eggs are...
they may have started from eggs, yeah.
Yeah, and they evolve upwards into chickens, or birds, usually. Perhaps reptiles. Anyways, the scientists over at UC... a group of chemists, to be specific, from UC Irvine and Australia, have found a way to take a hard-boiled egg and unboil the... white.
I don't believe it.
What? Yeah, the
that's science fiction right there.
It sounds like it should be, but it isn't. That's science fact. The purpose of this is what they're really after is understanding how proteins fold and unfold.
Okay.
And where this becomes useful is in things like genetics research. Or because a lot of that's built around the idea of how proteins fold and unfold to make from DNA and such, okay. But also cancer treatments are built around these similar ideas of tangling and untangling things. So if we can start tailoring and or attacking the actual structure of cancer, it might be a way to help improve the speed with which we can treat cancer and reduce the effects on the human body, hopefully, as well.
Okay.
It also has potential to improve pharmaceuticals as well, beyond just cancer research, but also because the way they build these antibodies is using currently hamster ovary cells, which don't really misfold proteins correctly for cancer research.
Oh,
so okay. This will help them with this technique. They can actually use other more commonly found proteins like egg white and reformat it to be what they need it to be so they can test more quickly. And also, this could also streamline manufacturing for things like cheese and industrial cheesemakers and farmers who would use recombinant proteins to also achieve better conditions for their milk and livestock and stuff. So it's like,
Okay, I did not expect the 30 different directions that story went.
Yeah, when it was mentioned to me by one of our dear listeners, I was like, wait, really? They unboiled an egg? What's the purpose of that?
Yeah,
it's actually really cool.
Like they do it just to see if they could do it, like.
Yeah,
not quite.
It's actually
well at
heat.
First yeah. until
yeah.
And then we need to think of something that this could work.
What else is protein? What else is made out of protein?
Okay. Other than that, want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? Question mark.
Yes.
Ooh,
stream us whenever you want at www.kscu.org, or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
Oh, yeah.
Pro tip.
If you want to find us faster, do a search for KSCU. Our call letters are unique to our station on the globe. 103.3 FM is not as unique to us.
Unless you're using an old-fashioned radio-y type of thing.
Yeah, and then you're within close proximity.
The numbers are good.
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently, there's a study that says playing Rock Band together lowers stress and makes people more empathetic.
Huh.
I can see that.
Was it funded by
Harmonix?
Yeah. Empathy seems to be in short supply these days, especially on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't agree more. But there is an easy solution, according to a new study published in the journal Current Biology. Just play some Rock Band.
Huh.
Previous research has established that lower mammals, such as mice, in addition to humans, are capable of empathy. This particular study, led by McGill University psychology professor Jeffrey Mogill, compared reactions of undergraduate college students to a painful stimulus delivered by a different kind of ice bucket challenge, submerging an arm in ice water. The researchers measured pain reactions from people who were alone, with a friend, with a stranger when both had been given a stress-blocking drug, and with a stranger when both of them had just played Rock Band together.
Huh.
So they were trying to cover all their bases there.
Yeah, that's quite the control study right there.
It turned out that the pain reactions didn't differ for people who were alone or with a stranger, but when a subject was sitting across from a friend, they actually felt more pain. It would seem like more pain in the presence of a friend would be bad news, but it's in fact a sign that there is strong empathy between individuals. They are indeed feeling each other's pain, said Mogul. The researchers saw the same heightened reaction in people who had been given some kind of drug that suppresses the fight or flight stress response. Mm-hmm. The findings indicate that social stress, such as the stress felt between two people who are strangers, presents a barrier to feeling empathy. The final group of students played Rock Band with strangers prior to the ice water challenge. It took 15 minutes of playing together for the strangers to exhibit empathy toward each other during the experiment. On the other hand, playing Rock Band alone didn't increase empathy. Quote, it turns out that even a shared experience that is as superficial as playing a video game together can move people from the stranger zone to the friend zone and generate meaningful levels of empathy.
Hmm.
So,
if they're in the same room, right? Or...
That's what I assume. I don't think it's counting online.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, then you're not in the company of a person.
Yeah, you're not actually, you're still not sharing the space, even though you are sharing the game. But, it would be interesting to see if that does affect it at all. Like, maybe it's a much lower amount, but it does up it a little bit, perhaps. It'd be interesting to find out.
I mean, I could definitely see, like, with that game, especially if you're kind of all sort of working, since it's sort of, you want to work together in that game to get through the song. So
yeah, like the game is built around working together, because if you don't work together, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it'll fail.
Literally.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So there you go. I mean, Harmonix did release that survey not that long ago about interest in more Rock Band. So maybe that would help some people stress. Maybe, who knows?
Yeah.
Well, elsewhere in gaming news, we have much-awaited news concerning the Ouya.
Ouya!
Yes! Right? You've been much-awaiting news.
I almost forgot it existed.
Oh.
No.
What? How could you? Okay. Admittedly, a lot of people have completely forgot about the Ouya at this point. I'm not surprised.
It made a big noise, and then it didn't really deliver, unfortunately.
Right. One of the most perfectly funded Kickstarter campaigns ever created kind of turned into nothing. But that's what makes this story even more interesting, in my view. Someone is investing $10 million in the Ouya.
Interesting.
Yeah. A company called Alibaba is actually investing the money.
They are the eBay Amazon of China.
Okay. Well, apparently they also make internet devices. And so basically they compared it to, in the United States, the Amazon Fire TV. They make similar types of things. And apparently they're looking to fund Ouya to get their library of games into their television boxes.
Okay.
So I'm kind of surprised that they need to do something like that instead of just work out some sort of deal, but I guess it could be considered a deal in some sort of way, and probably allows them to get even more stuff onto the Ouya ecosystem, so it's probably a win-win all around.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, the Ouya is a really cool idea. It just, unfortunately, the hardware did not deliver what they were really hoping it would.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's still an Android, no matter how you slice it.
It's a cell phone stuck in a box.
Exactly. And, it's a neat idea and just didn't pan out anywhere near as well as people expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, speaking of ideas that may or may not pan out the way we hope, apparently Chris Pratt is being talked. There's talk of Chris Pratt being Indiana
Who's talking?
Jones. A number of people are talking.
Who don't know who that is.
Chris Pratt was Star-Lord, and he's also going to be showing up in the new Jurassic World movie as the adventure dude.
And if you manage not to see any of that stuff, he's also in Parks and Rec. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was Zero Dark Thirty? He was in that one too. So.
That's true.
That's true.
So he's been in he's been around a little bit, but he's kind of proven he has some acting. He has the acting, comedy, and now the action chops.
He's just darn likable. I think.
He is, which would be important for Indiana Jones. But I think it's kind of cool. At the same time, I'm like, do we need to?
I could hear the hesitation.
Do we need to reboot this movie? Why not just say it's a new character that happens to have similar adventures to Indiana Jones, inspired by Indiana Jones, or just I don't know. I guess I'm looking for something fresh from Hollywood, and I'm not going to get it anytime soon.
Yeah,
let me put it to you this way. Would you rather have him or Shia LaBeouf as the next Indiana Jones?
Oh, there is no question. I'd rather have Chris Pratt. Okay. If there's someone I would like to I think would be good at the role, I think he would be good. I just want something new from Hollywood. And
yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy was more along those lines, and this one isn't quite so much, but...
Yeah. It's like, if I'm totally with you, I'd rather have something new. But mm-hmm. if they are going to go this route, which will probably make them a lot of money.
Yeah,
I look at it like this: if they take that character and make it more like James Bond, where it's a bunch of people have played James Bond,
mm-hmm.
you have the Bond you like.
Mm-hmm.
That's never going to go away. So, in a sense, you could reboot it sort of, or like continue on, but just like, I'd rather they treat the character sort of like that.
No,
like,
it ruins it.
I think that could be interesting. It's not unlike what they're doing with Mad Max, where someone else is taking over for Mel Gibson. So
yeah. But again, like you, I'd rather they just, hey, let's come up with something new instead mm-hmm. of going back and like,
The thing that I'm interested to find out about the whole idea behind mm-hmm. it is to see if it's going to be more of a modern take on it, or a different time frame, anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, if they do that, that could still be interesting enough.
Well, that's why I say like a James Bond kind of thing. It's like mm-hmm. James Bond, it's sort of timeless in a sense, mm-hmm. the character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've shot it in certain, different eras and different times. So if they did like an Indiana Jones thing that set it more present,
mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Again,
or
this
Ghostbusters now, it's going to be about the same idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one thing that's interesting. Curious to see how it goes. Hopefully it goes well.
But I would say, yeah, I mean, I would say if you're going to pick somebody, pick someone that is not super recognizable. Like, mm-hmm. Chris Pratt's perfect, like, right now, because he's done, like, if you compared it to Harrison Ford,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he did Han Solo.
Yeah.
You know, he did some of these others, but it wasn't, like, super duper huge yet, so.
His star was rising at that point.
Yeah, so it's like, it would be, like, the perfect time for him. It's not like mm-hmm. where you're going to see it and go, like, oh, look, it's Tom Cruise, or, oh, it's Brad Pitt, or, it's like, I want to see the character, not the actor.
Exactly.
And I think Chris Pratt could pull that off. So
mm-hmm. So there you go.
So my story does involve
Chris Pratt.
Not Chris Pratt, okay. But another actor.
Oh, another actor.
That maybe would one day work with Chris Pratt, or fits into the world that
mm-hmm.
anyway. Simon Pegg will co-write Star Trek 3.
Nice.
So apparently, Scotty actor Simon Pegg will be giving all he's got behind the camera as well in front on Star Trek III. Deadline reports that Pegg, who plays the, you know, plays Scotty, will co-write the script with Doug Young, the creator of the TNT series Dark Blue. The original Trek III script had been worked on by Robert Orci, who dropped out of both directing and writing the film. Pegg's no stranger to screenwriting, having co-written the Cornetto trilogy and the sci-fi comedy Paul with Nick Frost.
Right, right.
Fast and Furious veteran Justin Lin will direct the next Trek movie for Paramount. So expect lots of, you know, like spoilers on the Enterprise and, you know, it's maybe a cameo by Vin Diesel.
It's gonna have Nitros and the nacelles.
Yeah, okay. What's the highest warp they go? Like
nine?
Nine. So they'll be like, all right, hit Scotty, working on that experimental nitrous system for the Enterprise, like engage us into warp 12 or something.
And straight to 12.
Yeah. They'll flash, and then they'll be like people dancing like in front of, you know, the monitor, and they're like,
right. It's necessary in order to achieve that jump to warp 12.
And it'll be, and then like Tyrese, they'll just get cameos from everyone that's been in the Fast and Furious that will make an appearance in Star Trek 3.
One can only hope.
So there you go. I know we focused a little bit more on Justin Lin in that versus Simon Pegg, but do you think Simon Pegg will bring the goods?
Yeah.
I am a little worried about all this bouncing around this Star Trek III has gone through, but hopefully it lands on its feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it sounds like it's got people involved with it now that are passionate about the project, which is a good first step, and that will usually at least bring us something that we'll enjoy. Maybe if it's not the greatest, we'll still think it's pretty fun, so. Because I know that Simon Pegg's been really big on a fairly big part of like the making Star Trek kind of what it is, along with
he definitely, his character brings a lot of the comedy to it, it seems like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have a feeling that the treatments probably weren't connecting on terrible much of a human level, and they probably figured that Pegg was a good way to inject a little humanity into it.
Lin Pegg together and this young guy who wrote Dark Blue series or something,
right?
Because he's also co-writing it. I don't want to leave him out. Be like, hey man, like he's listening to the show, but he's like, hey, I'm writing that too.
It's not about Pegg.
It's not just about Pegg, man. I'm here.
Yeah, so I was hoping it turns out well.
Here's something, though, that is...
What's that?
...and can turn out well, but it will need your help out there. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that's building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Okay, this is giant news for me.
Giant.
And I don't know if it registers in the larger video game world, but it should.
What's that?
Borderlands 2 lost its star writer.
No.
Or I'm sorry, the Borderlands series lost. The lead writer of Borderlands 2 has been lost to the Borderlands.
Anthony Birch?
Yes.
Okay.
Anthony Birch basically ended up confirming that he is leaving Gearbox through a Twitter announcement. He's apparently moving to L.A. To work. I believe these are friends of his, and he's worked with them before and done writing with them. But he is moving to work on a series for Hulu, for Freddie Wong's company, Rocket Jump.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the new series is going to be behind-the-scenes creation, like, reality-type thing about Rocket Jump's video production. So it'll be interesting to see how that works, just because my understanding was that he did writing for them before, so I guess now just going to actually have his face on it instead of maybe interacting over internet or something like that. Well, it'll be interesting to see. But it does kind of fit with the massive call to arms for all the Borderlands fans out there that Gearbox put out at PAX South, because included in the giant laundry list of people that they were looking for was writers. So,
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, because that too has been very, there's a camp that enjoyed one a lot more.
Right.
And that kind of style in the story. And then there's a group that really enjoyed two's style. And a lot of times, like, they never really crossed. So it'll be curious to see, like, what three becomes. Like, if you were a big fan of two, which I could safely say we all
are.
I enjoy
the writing is really what shined in two. If you enjoy a game having a unique sense of humor, that's definitely what he brought to that series.
Yeah.
So. I wonder if they'll try and poach anybody from Telltale to work on this project also, since they're doing a pretty bang-up job on Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah.
I'd be down with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They've built a very solid foundation at this point for what could move forward. So,
yeah, definitely. It's just interesting to see where it goes, and it might go someplace completely different, which wouldn't be too bad either, since they've kind of had two games in the genre of two. I mean, counting the pre-sequel, since it's sort of a spinoff of that one, even though it wasn't the same.
Plus, spoilers, the second one ends with the possibility of them having it in completely different places. So,
it wouldn't be inconceivable that they just be like, you know what, we've had these two really good successes. We're going to aim for something a little different this time, and hopefully the fans will be along with us. I'll check it out, because I think it'd be pretty wicked cool.
I don't think you should.
Yeah.
Just give up on it. The other thing
that I'm sort of actually wondering about it is that I'm wondering if there's a possibility he might go back after he's done with this, just because it's going to be a weekly series that's filming very soon and is only 8 episodes. So him leaving Gearbox for effectively 8 weeks, it does open the possibility of maybe him coming back to write DLC or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it doesn't sound like he shut the door on working on more Borderlands stuff. So
yeah, it just seems like he's moved out of the lead writer position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he didn't like flip Gearbox the bird or anything like that. He basically left tweet saying how much he loved his experience there and the people that helped him into that experience.
Exactly. So from fans, from lead writers leaving to materials that leave water leaving. That didn't make any sense, but let's go with it. The scientists have been
working. I was on board.
Have created a new technique for making super hydrophobic materials, specifically metals in this case. And this is, this might sound like, what's the point of a super hydrophobic material?
Who likes phobias anyway?
Nobody likes phobias.
Phobias are bad.
But this is the sort of materials that will help make things like bridges and other large scale surfaces exposed to the elements repel the elements that much better and without a chemical coating. Because hydrophobic materials have been made so far is they make a material that is a coating that goes over it. You know, they've made some glass materials that have the hydrophobic elements kind of like baked into the glass.
Mm-hmm.
But that's glass, and you can't put glass everywhere. Metals also kind of need something. Or we'll still make a lot of stuff out of steel.
Can't you just put glass everywhere?
It's true. If destiny has taught you anything, there's a vault full of glass.
It's true.
Yes.
That's what I've gathered from the title of that.
Perhaps even a Heart of Glass.
Oh.
But the video that goes along with this, which if you go to our Facebook or Twitter page, we have the links up there. You nice. can see this in action, and it is remarkable because normally you see the water like striking a surface, and it kind of like you can see most of it bounce away, but some of it mm-hmm. splatters. This stuff don't splat; it just bounces off. You like it looks like you're bouncing a rubber ball cool. off of the material. It's like. No way. That's water. That doesn't do that. It's not supposed to behave that way. This is too cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It might have come out after you found the research for the article the first time around, but they actually put out video of a knife coated the same way.
What? Or
altered the same way.
Yeah.
And it literally... cuts and repels water away from it. It's crazy.
That's insane. The way they do it is with a highly advanced with a whole
aliens
kind of laser etching. So effectively, like it's like not unlike what we hear tell of alien technologies from around from the internets. But yeah, it's by creating tons and tons of little micro grooves on the surface and different patterns, they can create a surface which actually repels water.
Whoa.
It's bizarre to watch, but it sure is cool.
I gotta check out that video.
Yeah,
you should check out the video out there too. But don't do it if you're driving.
Yes, when you're safely stopped someplace or at home, you can definitely check it out then.
Because unlike this water thing that will repel, you will not bounce off of whatever you will run into.
Yes, that will go poorly if you're not paying attention.
So. If you want to pay attention.
And why wouldn't you?
Because, you know, that would make this story easier for you to understand it.
Mm-hmm. You want to absorb
it. Pay attention
to.
Yeah. Because it's super complicated.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's so, like, deep. You'll want to put on your thinking cap. Because apparently...
it's on right now.
Okay, good,
I can
good.
Feel it.
Because apparently X-Men Apocalypse has cast Young Storm, Jean Grey, and Cyclops.
Whoa.
I know. Your mind is blown. The
Storm going to have the mohawk? Like,
well, one can only hope because it does take place in the 80s.
Okay.
And that wasn't the ever the Hawk.
Yeah.
And she was leader of the team, too.
Director Brian Singer announced on Twitter that Alexandra Shipp, that's with two P's.
Uh-huh.
Just so you're out there listening, like, what did he just say? We'll play Storm. Sophia Turner will take on Jean. And Ty Sheridan will star as Cyclops.
Hmm.
If you are unfamiliar with any of those names, you might recognize one of them, though, if you see her. Sophie Turner plays Sansa Stark on Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the other two, they don't. She's the biggest one out of the three, really.
The internet erupted with applause when that was announced.
Yeah, I could see that. I'll be curious to see how much of a role they'll play in the movie. I don't know, like, if they're going to... Because I'm not really sure... I don't want to spoil too much from Days of Future Past, but, you know.
right.
Just say spoilers first, and then you're all,
then earmuffs,
it's all good.
Earmuffs, you don't want to know.
But, yeah, I don't know if they'll, you know, like, have the older actor and the younger one, you know, as much. Because this one's going to be interesting since it does, like I said, it mainly focuses more, like, during the 80s and stuff like that. And so, and since I reported last time that there's going to be no... McKellen or Stewart.
That will be curious to see how that turns out.
This will drop May 27th of 2016, and they did cast Apocalypse.
Ooh,
previously. Oh,
okay. That's right.
Damn, I mentioned it in here. I forget his name, but he's going to be in the new Star Wars movie. You see him flying the X-wing. When they do the cockpit shot.
Right.
He is... Oh, man, what was that movie called? He was in...
Oscar Isaac?
Yeah. He was in... those two brothers that make movies, like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And
the Coen brothers.
Coen brothers, yeah. He was in a movie with them. He had a cat for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. he got a Golden Globe for his Inside Llewyn Davis performance.
That was it.
And yeah, he's a heck of a singer too.
It's weird enough. Though, like he was in Drive.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
As the boyfriend of the chick that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. There you go.
Interesting. That movie sounds even.
Which movie? I just named like three or four of them.
Apocalypse. Okay. since that's the word all. Try to get back to the
I just
beginning.
Want to help the audience. It's like, which one is he referring to? Because mm-hmm. he mentioned like four.
Fair enough.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Vaguely about a cat.
Okay. Well, vaguely linked to that. We're not going to be the only ones watching videos if DARPA has anything to do with it. Actually, it's already done it. DARPA has already successfully made YouTube watching robots.
And they're not, like, AI? Or how does this work?
They are AI. And they...
Are they special and unique?
They have... I think so.
Okay.
I think they're much more special and unique than other things that were special
Continue.
And unique, supposedly. Anyway, the entire idea behind it was to make robots that could learn by watching.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it to such a high level that they actually made a robot that can watch YouTube cooking videos and was able to simulate all of the things involved, including choosing the right utensils and foods in order to cook.
Huh.
So
the whole like Jetsons thing where the robots make the food is getting even closer to reality, and they will actually learn from us how to make the food.
Right. That's the entire goal right there, is that they want to make robots that will learn by observing, not just from humans, but from other robots as well.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a heck of a task. I would have never assumed that they'd get it to work so quickly, especially considering a lot of the trickery that they're, not trickery, I guess, but a lot of the tech that robots are using include, like, stereoscopic vision and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a bigger deal that it just watches a plain old 2D video and mm-hmm. is able to decipher from that exactly what it's supposed to be doing. Because, I mean, it doesn't have any notion of depth or anything like that by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
At least,
not that we
no
can tell. Anyways,
easy way of doing that.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is definitely a step towards the robot apocalypse, but in kind of a cool way, because at least for a little while, DARPA bots will be cooking our meals. It sounds like
they'll be delicious, supposedly.
While they sprinkle in the mind control,
right. This is a DARPA project, but I should include that the actual people doing the work on it was University of Maryland. So,
mm-hmm.
congratulations, University of Maryland, for spelling out our doom. Eventually, after the cooking.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So that makes sense. So,
if you're just tuning in, mm-hmm. we're in the news here on KACU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound on Robots Attack. And Caleb, this is your last story, right?
It is my last story, and it's...
Make it good, make
this
it exciting.
This is your last story.
it's sort of kind of bridging off the idea of technology and robotics and learning and science. And it's also connecting
in
with...
In that it has nothing to do with it.
No, it also has to do with one of my other favorite subjects, space.
Ooh.
And this has to do
space
with...
Space bots.
Technically, yes, because the Philelander is a robot. And it's, as you may have heard about in the news earlier, Project Rosetta landed the Philelander on asteroid 67P. Rolls right off the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And but, not the language learning program.
No, no.
Okay. Just for the audience. Like, mm-hmm. What? How do you...
Yeah, the reason this is one of the reasons they call it Rosetta, though, is because they're hoping that this this study will help unlock some of the deeper mysteries of the foundations of the universe, kind of like how the Rosetta Stone opened up language to
makes sense
modern age,
makes
or
sense.
Ancient languages to the modern age. So the what they're hoping what's going to be happening really soon is the comet is going to be essentially shaking the dust off of itself.
Oh.
It's a process they've seen in...
Even, see, you out there in Radioland did not see this, but he did a little, like, shaking movement. It was pretty spot on. I'm guessing it's exactly how the robot would do it.
Mm, very possibly. The the comet itself, where they've through observation of other flybys of the comet, when it reaches a certain point in its orbit around the sun, it actually shifts and shakes off a certain amount of dust.
Okay.
And studies have been done of the results of this, trying to understand the molecular makeup and material makeup of this dust, which is basically like a giant time capsule looking back through space history.
Okay.
And normally they only catch it after it's happened, like they kind of, so they don't really get, you know, what the dust actually is or where it's or what how it responds, and now they'll be right dead center in the middle of this as it happens, so they will be able to. It's an unprecedented view into how the life of the solar system, the galaxy, the universe, and the life of the comet are. It's the kind of things we all. That people knew existed and knew it happened, but why and how and what does that tell us about the nature of these things? So,
plus, it's the least dust can do for us since it kind of ruined the entire proof of the Big Bang Theory thing.
Yeah, there. You know, well, it wrecked one group's study. It hasn't quite done the big negation yet.
Well, no, I mean they were like really excited for a little while, like yes, it's proven. Then found out it was dust playing a practical joke on them. So.
Well, it also shows the nature of light in the universe, and things are all spacey, wasty, timey, wimey,
dusty,
bendy,
busty.
Bendy out there. Dusty busty, yes. So that there you go. Something to look forward to in the near future, finding out more about the fluffy elements of the of comets as they go by. So
nice.
Very cool.
I think so. All right. I think that's going to do it for the news here on Robots Attack. We are going to take a music break, and then we'll come back with a quick geek talk. Caleb mm-hmm. has some stuff he wants to talk about.
Yes.
And, yeah, we'll get to that. And then, of course, after that, we'll jump into the second part.
The countdown.
Of the things we're looking forward to this year. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Kept playing.
Yeah, that was odd. But this is
speaking of odd.
Speaking of odd, here is something out of the ordinary. It's the Geek Talk. Real quick, it's I wanted to mention that the SF Sketchfest is going on, and. You know what, you may be thinking, but that's not very geeky. Au contraire.
It is sketchy, however.
It is. there is a... RiffTrax will be doing a live grouping there, live riffing. There, let's see, Margaret Cho. There's a bunch of other, like, little, like, fun things. Judge Hodgman is doing a live version of his show there as well.
Okay.
So there's a lot of, like... things around Greek geek culture that you will probably find enjoyable, and it's still going on until the 8th of February.
Nice.
So, there you go.
Not a whole lot of time left.
Not a lot of time left, but there's still time to find some tickets still available for a number of different shows. So, there you go.
Are you going to go?
I'm going to see if there's anything that catches my eye. We'll see if we can, but yeah. I also thought I learned others that this cool thing is going on. There's a lot of people that most of us like involved, so... There you go.
Nice.
All right. The Tabard Theater Company at Theater on San Pedro Square in downtown San Jose proudly presents the stage version of Mitch Albom's 1997 New York Times bestseller, Tuesdays with Maury, on January 30th through February 22nd. The New York Magazine writes, Tuesdays with Maury is a play that might, incredibly, just might, change your life.
Ooh.
Whoa.
I know.
That's...
Hey, that's I'm just reading that's what's bold. Here. Mm-hmm. I can't confirm these things. For tickets, however, call 408-679-2330 or visit tabardtheater.org. That's 408-679-2330 or tabardtheater.org.
Nice.
Very good then.
All right.
You are now entering the core.
All right, we're in the core. Teased it earlier that we were going to talk about the rest of our top 10 things coming out this year. And, you know, just in case you missed last time or, you know, just to kind of give you a brief, quick reminder.
Yes. So from 10 to 6?
Yes.
Mine was Kingsman, Secret Service. The Division, which is iffy because it doesn't have a release date. Battleborn. Fast and Furious 7, or just Furious 7, I believe. I'm sorry.
Furious 7.
And Star Wars Battlefront.
Okay. Mine in descending order, I guess.
Yeah. 10 to 6. Cutting down to the top.
I have the television show iZombie. The movie Fantastic Four. Also movie Mad Max Fury Road. Also movie Terminator Genesis. And also movie Chappie.
All right. And mine were number 10. It was a tie because at the time... It was Star Wars Battlefront / Metal Gear Solid 5, just because. But it sounds like I'm getting more and more clarification that Battlefront will be coming out this year.
Sweet.
So I'll put that as 10.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Then number 9 was Ori and the Blind Forest. And we had number 8 was the rest of Tales from the Borderlands. Number 7 was Batman Arkham Knight. And number 6, tied with Jason, Chappie. All right. So now we're into the top 5. The second half. And so last time, I believe Jason started us off. I'm going to start us off this time.
Nice.
I'll go first this
Break
time.
Them
Change all. It up a little bit. So my number 5 is Age of Ultron.
Nice. Okay.
Looks pretty good. You know, I'm sure it'll be fair. Be, you know, it's average at best, you know.
Yeah. Like, I wish more people were looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, I felt mostly why I put it on my list is because I felt sorry for it. Like a lot of people weren't really like thinking about it, you know. They were kind of like, oh man,
that other one is you know. And then
it's like, you know, it's just I don't know,
not many people like Joss Whedon,
right? Yeah,
it's true. He doesn't have a very big following, so I'm trying to, you know, kind of help
drum
him
up
out.
Some intention.
But yeah, I you know, enjoyed the first Avengers. I'm assuming this one will be just as fun, and you know, it'd be nice to see everybody kind of back together again.
Yeah.
And, you know.
With more.
Yeah. How they implement Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver and.
Yeah.
The whole not mutants.
My suspicion is inhuman angle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Since they can't legally make them mutants
anymore. Yeah.
But, yeah. And I'll be curious because. And I look forward to your in-depth. Discussion of Ultron, the character, because I'm not super familiar with that, and the Vision will be playing a part in this, and that's another character I'm super familiar with. So a lot of unknown things for myself, so I'm interested to see how they all come together and,
yeah. You know. Definitely, I'm looking forward to that as well, because it's actually my number five, too.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Oh,
yeah. So
oh, nice.
That was a
perfect segue.
It was. And I
you made that up.
No.
Stop it. That's my number five, too. No,
what?
No. Yeah, like when I saw the trailer, like I was already excited. Like my ticket was sold as the credits rolled on the first one, and then I saw the preview. I'm like, okay, I'm definitely especially after the Winter Soldier, like that one, like kind of like re-cemented like Captain America as like a character I really wanted to be interested in seeing more of.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I didn't like him in the other movies, but like that one, like he's like, yes, now we can. This is like a character that's clever, smart, and he's not overly powered, he has to figure out how to do things like that normal people can do he is enhanced
with a chair on top.
Yeah. Yeah, he does have a little bit of whipped cream on top of his human
whoa,
sundae.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
Whoa.
Yeah. He's got a little extra. I can't wait. Yeah. The Ultron looks really cool, and
I'll be curious to how, like, the first one, you know, it set it up them all coming together for the first time and having to sort of struggle with each other, but then, like, reconnecting at the end to be a team.
Be a team, yeah.
Right.
What sort of angle they do with this one, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
how long has it been since they've been the Avengers, or, you know, like, mm-hmm. is there still going to be friction? Is there going to be, you know, so
yeah.
I'll be curious what angle they take with this one, since they've done that one, that sort of angle in the first one, like
mm-hmm.
yeah. You know.
And some of the clips, they look pretty chummy, so
yeah. Bruce Banner and Tony Stark can be science bros, you know. And, but I'm kind of curious to see how they will work the Ultron angle, because with not having having Ant-Man as a totally separate character and not being Hank Pym, that totally changes where Ultron was based. So in terms of like from the comic books
that we know of,
time will tell. The movie hasn't really released yet, so but yeah, it'll be interesting how that plays out and just where do they go with it. And again, salute ILM. You are doing excellent work. Continue to do so.
No. All right. So we've. My number five, your number five, your number
my,
five. Now,
my
Jason.
Number five is also a Marvel property. Oh. It's new to this year, although it's already started, and that's the Agent Carter series. I've enjoyed it. I thought it's been solid so far. I have some criticisms of it, but it's nothing that derails it, and it's definitely interesting to see where it's going to end up leading, and if it ends up getting more seasons afterwards or not, since they can totally drop it from here. So, or after the 8 episodes or something like that.
Yeah, something or other. Forget.
So yeah, it seems like good, high quality stuff, and it seems like it's going to give some interesting shadows into the Marvel universe also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool, I think stuff. The next episode... From the previews, it looks like the team, Captain America's team.
The Screaming Furies, yeah, or
anyway, she like either reunites with them or it's like a flashback with them again or something, because the commercial showed Dum Dum Dugan or whatever his name is, and some of the other team.
Yeah, it's funny.
Anyway, so
I've been catching up this last week on S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm.
And so, like, they have a little notes about them in that also.
Mm.
So I'm more interested to see that stuff just because I just came fresh
just
off of episodes
it.
Without...
Nice. Mm. Well, while you look that up, we'll move on to number four.
All right, now.
My number four... is Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This game was delayed. It was on my list last year.
Delayed.
Then it got delayed, which was fine because it looks like a very ambitious game. Then it got delayed again for May, which is fine. Just make that game work. As I think we've mentioned before, games have dropped recently that have haven't had all their working parts in order.
Yes.
I'd rather this one be nice and ready for me to spend hours and hours and hours in, because after finishing Dragon Age Inquisition and almost finishing my second playthrough with it, I'm looking forward to another fantasy world to get lost in for hours and hours and hours. And
okay. Yeah, it seems like that one will do it.
Yeah. And not being super familiar with the world, I'm going to go back and kind of look at some wikis and check out some stuff and try to play as much of 2 I can before. And then the idea, I guess, that they've added that you can, you know, you'll end up playing different characters, not just the Witcher himself in the game. So, but yeah, I like my fantasy games, and this one looks like it'll be very, very appealing to me.
Very, very fantastical.
Yeah.
Right up your alley.
Yeah, I'd mentioned to you guys earlier that I dabbled in 2 a little bit since it's been free on Xbox. So I'm pretty impressed so far. It'll be interesting to see what the next incarnation of it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be curious too. It's just sort of the combat style versus Dragon Age, having come off of that, kind of comparing. I mean, you're not like playing, as far as like, you know, you're not playing like a team.
Yeah.
So it's just the one character and the abilities that character has. So, but yeah, we'll just be curious to see how they do combat, having not being familiar with the series, but having heard that it can be pretty strategic and whatnot. So.
Yeah, from what I remember of the first games, like they actually had like a pretty deep like physical combat fighting system in terms of how like the timing and stuff works out. So, it'll be cool. And side note, the Captain America's first team was the Howling Commandos.
Howling Commandos. There we go. And it was some sort of screaming, yelling involved.
They like making noise.
Yeah.
All right. So Witcher 3 is my number 4.
Okay.
Alrighty. See, number 4 is Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, it's already been mentioned on
this. Is that your final answer?
Punch. It's been mentioned already, but it just looks really, really good. And I'm a sucker for a Mad Max movie.
Sucker for anger.
Madness.
Two Maxes enter, one Max leaves. Wait, no.
sort of.
You can kind of. But yeah. Also, the casting looks really good. I actually like Tom Hardy as Max.
Why?
I don't know. He seems to like he has that sort of really early
madness to him.
Right.
Like Mel Gibson, like stoic face, but still like you can see like there's something like just underneath. You know what the mask he's wearing that to survive the situation that's driving him forward, which I thought was kind of cool.
Okay, and I'll accept that.
Charlize Theron, I really like her as an actress, and she doesn't look bad on screen.
we knew that would be a good selling point for you.
A lot of people like her, and I'm just looking forward to seeing where they take this, because it seems like they're taking some of the best elements of the Road Warrior with Thunderdome and like. Mixing them together with a little bit of like the very first Mad Max, although not quite as much. The absurdity of some of these rolling vehicles that they've made, like the ones with the big old bungee like spring poles and stuff. I'm like, I have no idea what those are going to do, but they are kind of awesome.
Makes complete sense to me. But
yeah, it looks like a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to another outing. And my one sort of like thing about it is that it's not filmed in Australia, because
wait, what?
Yeah,
where's it filmed?
South Africa.
Okay,
it's not filmed in Australia only
same
because
difference.
When they were going to start filming, that was the wettest summer that the middle of Australia had ever had, and so it was like the greenest it's ever been in like years. And so like, well, we can't film it here. What the heck,
man.
The outback
was inconvenient weather.
Yeah, so there you go. The outback got a little bit greener, and that's just kind of a strange thought.
Okay, is that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't. If you have
go
more to say,
number 4.
Okay,
Jason.
Number four for me is Ori the Blind Forest. The artwork for it just looks phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And it does look like they've done a pretty successful job pulling at the heartstrings. So I'm interested to see it just from those two things by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, it's going to be interesting seeing a platformer that's not all about running and gunning or just doing skill-based stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it's going to be a nice combination of a lot of different nice points for a platformer type of game. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I guess like each area has some sort of different kind of mechanic, like using with gravity kind of and changing, like going how you go up certain walls and things like that. But yeah, it was on my list. I'm definitely excited. Speaking of being excited, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website, and never be without the Underground Sound. Pro tip.
Search for KSCU. That is unique to our station on the globe. And since if you're going through the streaming services, you may find that there's a lot of other stations on 103.3. But KSCU is specifically us. The only one in the world.
The only one. Oh, my gosh. All right. So we're down to...
Number three.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we're going to do?
What's that?
We're going to take a quick music break. And okay. We're going to come back and finish off.
Sounds good.
Our list.
That'll work.
That's right. You want to stick around for the top three? All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM. The Underground Sound. All righty. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM. The Underground Sound. We are in the core. We are discussing the second part of our top 10 things we are excited for this year.
Mm-hmm.
We've already gone through our number five and our number four. We are now moving on to the top three. And my number three will sound very familiar.
No.
Because we may have talked about it very, 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 very recently.
Oh, wow.
And that is Mad Max Fury Road. But yes.
Yeah.
It's like we have similar tastes or something.
I know. It's like... maybe we'll have some similar things.
Why
on
are
list.
We even friends?
I know. It's so weird. It's like, and we just met like 10 days ago.
Something like that. Right. Yeah,
so it's crazy. All
totally
these things
thrown
we
together
have
by the radio
in
station.
Common. Exactly.
Whoa.
You three do a show together. Okay. I don't know. Wow. We know all these things here. Anyway. Yes. I'm excited for this because I love the Mad Max movies.
Mm-hmm.
You qualify as a super fan, I believe.
It's possible. Mm. Road Warrior being my favorite.
Solid choice.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for this. Something that hasn't been mentioned is that it was shot with very, very, very little CGI.
Yes.
A lot of it is all practical effects or whatever. Just get the cars out there, it's all driving, it's all crazy explosion stuff and
that, real stunts, real people, real dust.
Yeah. So that is something I'm looking forward to in this kind of movie because they could have easily CG'd a lot of it and it probably still would have been cool, but it would have lost some of that, you know, edge to it that I think having the real cars and real stunts and crazy explosions and people doing things.
Yeah.
You know,
if you take all the people out, the pathos just sort of falls flat.
Yeah.
That's all. They just like took out the safety harnesses. You can't tell from here.
Plus, you already made all of these cars out of junk in the first place.
Exactly.
You might as well destroy them.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh no, don't blow that one up. Well, who cares? Whatever.
Yeah.
One that I haven't seen, do they have? It seems like they always try and have one that's like jet powered. Is there a jet powered one in this one? I haven't.
I'm not sure. Okay. I'm assuming probably.
Okay.
It's probably in there in the crowd somewhere on there.
Yeah, there's one shot that has a long caravan of cars. I'm sure there's gonna be one of them in there.
One sneak one in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, quick, well, we need the jet powered one.
It'll be like the first one to destroy it.
Yeah. Be a throwback to the other side. And then like I know most people are familiar with Tom Hardy as you know,
Bane.
Yeah. But if you go back and watch like Inception, mm-hmm. or there's a film where he, now you wouldn't think this would be terribly interesting, but it's him in a car on the phone in his car. And it's actually pretty good.
Was that,
and it's pretty much the entire movie is him driving. He's talking on the phone to various people,
mm-hmm.
and a few other things, but it all takes place in his car. Like, huh. it's, I yeah. forget the name of it. Caleb is looking it up right
I
now.
Believe I didn't it. Realize also, since I just rewatched it, I noticed it. He's in the last half of Band of Brothers.
Like, oh,
really
oh.
young.
Oh, okay.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's Locke. L-O-C-K-E.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, if you want to see some different performances from Mr. Hardy, might be worth checking out those if you hadn't. He seems to have kind of various ranges on stuff. So, and then mm-hmm. he was obviously in where I think ended up getting him cast as Bane was the MMA fighting movie with like the two brothers fighting right. each other or something. And so
he was also in Guy Ritchie's latest movie, Rock and Rolla.
Oh, mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah. Rock and Rolla. He was also in Bronson. He plays a
Bronson.
He plays
Bronson Pinchow. He plays Bronson Pinchow.
No, he's
a parrot.
No, the early 20th century criminal who ended up being a celebrity while being in prison, kind of thing, which is sort of one of those weird moody things. It's kind of a weird flick. I've only seen part of it so far, but it was kind of interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, I love post-apocalyptic movies and love Fallout and that kind of stuff. And so this just scratches that itch again, and just seeing the wackiness that George Miller does mm-hmm. when he gets back into that world. It's just so bizarre thinking it's like the dude that made Babe also made Mad Max. You're just like, what?
Wait, what?
But yeah, so I hope it's awesome, and I look forward to seeing it, and that's why it's my number three.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see.
What about yours? Quick.
My number three.
You don't have it memorized?
Sure.
Can't mean that much to you.
Is the Minion movie.
The Minion movie?
Minion yeah. movie, okay.
Yeah.
Is it called Minions?
I think it's called the Minion movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the it's a spinoff from the very popular Despicable Me series,
okay.
focusing exclusively on the Minions.
So it's not going to have the main...
No, Gru is not in this one. This according
might be
to
at the very end, maybe.
Perhaps. Possibly. When the preview closes, it says it's like 60 or 27... like 30-some-odd years before Gru shows up.
Oh, okay. That was my... question of, is it going to be like a prequel
yeah.
or a, okay.
yeah, so prequel, yes, but more of like a history of the Minion as a creature, as opposed to minions leading up to specifically Despicable Me. It's
I like the little cut with like Dracula.
Mm-hmm, yeah, good. It looks ridiculous because the guys who came up with the concept of the Minions, like, I don't know where they made things that would make absolutely no sense so like endearing, but they're
it's one dude. It's actually the director of the Despicable Me movie. He both created the Minions and did the voices for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, him and the lead writer, like the two voices for the Minions.
Speaking of voices, having not seen Despicable Me 2 and not remembering a whole lot of Despicable Me 1,
mm-hmm.
do they talk, or is it just
they talk
gibberish.
They talk, but they have like a specific dialect of weird phrases that they speak. It's okay. kind of like okay. Ewoks. They have a language, but no one really understands what they're saying.
Okay.
But it just looks like a lot of fun. I enjoyed the heck out of the two Despicable Me movies. So I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with the Minions, because
nice.
Honestly, they've been the selling point of the one of the major draws of the film. Once you like get into them, you're like, oh, those guys, those Minions are totally awesome. And yeah. can't wait to see more of them.
Summer, I assume?
July 10th, yes.
Okay, yeah. Right, smack dab in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I got to say, that came out of nowhere. I was not expecting that one, so.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. I can understand that one.
Well, I get
it's
it.
Not gonna, just... It's not showing up on my
list. It's not your number
not
three?
Not showing up on my list. I'm sorry. Whatever. It's not even in my honorable mentions.
Whatever.
I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not my thing. That's all. Uh-huh. Other than the Dracula scene, I thought that was cute. my number three is the newest Avengers movie also. So.
Mm.
Age of Ultron.
Yeah. Mostly me, I'm a big James Spader fan. Mm. And so I think him as even just the voice of Ultron is going to be stellar in my view.
Be cool.
Because, mm-hmm. I've been a fan of him like since he was really young doing like weird little roles, but as he's gotten older, he's gotten more and more ominous somehow.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why. Like you see him in person, it's like, okay, he just looks like a little bit of a chubby dude.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. he talks and he puts the little tingles down my spine. Yeah. I don't know why. So, yeah, I think he's going to spin some gold out of that. And the character design for the robot also is just absolutely awesome. When I first heard that it was going to be Ultron, I was really nervous just because I've never been a fan of practically any of the Ultron designs.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I've never been a huge into any of those story arcs in the first place, but there have been some little spots here and there that I thought Ultron looked really cool, but almost as soon as they did it, they like changed him into the status quo Ultron, which always kind of frustrated me. So yeah, it's cool seeing something a little bit different, a little bit more swoopy and organic, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the menacing is still definitely there.
Yeah, it's so funny, and I know it won't be the same way, but just when I found out too, I just started picturing like his character on the Office later scenes, like after Steve Carell left. Like,
oh, okay.
It just the stuff that guy would say is just like completely bonkers and nuts. And so I'm just sort of Ultron, like saying this weird thing, but having that like presence of his voice.
That would be kind of fun to like make a video or something like that.
Where like
just have all the Avengers looking at him kind of awkward, like, okay, I'm genuinely afraid of him just because he's so weird.
Yeah. Well, here's something you don't have to be afraid of. If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. So we're on number two, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Yes.
Yeah. Our top two.
Or 2.5 if you want to do that.
Whoa.
I mean.
Whoa. Oh. Amazing. All right. So my number two.
Mm-hmm. Lay it on us.
Is the sequel to my favorite game of, I think it was 2013.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And probably one of my favorite games of all time, Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Okay.
Is my number two. I cannot wait to play this. I loved Tomb Raider. I know a lot of people didn't super care for the story. I thought it was fine, but just... I loved what they did with Lara.
Yeah.
And I loved the whole Metroidvania thing of going back, upgrading your weapons and your equipment, the bow. Like, even on my second playthrough, I was like, okay, I'm going to use some of the other weapons. No, I just went back to the bow. I loved using that thing. And I just,
you can't go wrong with that bow.
I just loved how the game mechanics of going the cover, like when enemies were around, she like slunk down kind of low automatically, and when you went up into cover, like she went into cover kind of like a real person would, like, you know, like just standing walking around, there's bad guys. She's actually like, whoa, I hear bad guys, okay, we should like alert
slow
the player
down,
let them
down.
Know. I just seeing this one, I know they haven't shown a whole lot, but just I love the direction they're going with, where they're mm-hmm. kind of like, she's talking with that psychiatrist and mm-hmm. playing with the idea of that, the thing she experienced on the island, like changing her, and how it was some twisted stuff, but maybe she actually kind of liked some of it, but kind of having to deal with that. And just like, mm-hmm. it looks like there's going to be some snow, so that will be like a cool environmental change mm-hmm. from the island. But yeah, I just, oh man, this day one purchase for me, like I mm-hmm. cannot wait for this one.
Did you, are you like reading my mind?
Let me guess, is that yes. your number two?
Oh my goodness. But yeah,
I'm not surprised this one is on your list, but
yeah, like despite being frustrated but being stuck in the first in definitive edition Tomb Raider, I am like ecstatic about that game. Like the humanity they gave what has been a largely sort of discarded character in terms of like character depth, not that they didn't try in later games, but they just never quite seemed to sync up with like the image that had been created for Lara in the years before. Mm-hmm. like they hit reset, they did a really, really good job of building up a character that you could see being the adventuring sort, but not necessarily like starting out that way. Like mm-hmm. it was a near pitch perfect origin story while still like feeling like it was a new story at the same time. Mm-hmm. I thought that
I
graphics are obviously like, they just did such a good job on the environment and making the world feel like big and real and interesting and stuff like that. And where they go next, I can only imagine, because like it's probably going to be current gen, I'm calling it, first, like Xbox One and PS4 first. So I can only imagine what they're going to do with like all that extra space and power and like the proceed and like connecting to the Azure cloud for mm-hmm. like doing extra simulations and stuff. I'm like, ah, I can't wait.
Yeah. Don't forget the hair. Uh-huh. It was good.
Yep.
And it's semi-exclusive for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's there.
I don't, have they said exactly how long even, or?
No, they haven't.
Okay.
It's usually about 6 months to a year's. Pretty standard, it seems like, but we'll see.
We'll find out.
Okay. My number two, I don't think you guys will have seen this coming at all, but ooh. Ever since I saw this in the E3 coverage, it has grabbed a hold of my imagination and toyed with my emotions just because it looks so cool.
I think I know what it is. I'm going to put it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right. Come on, you got us in suspense here, man.
This is going to completely be like, wait, what? Cuphead.
Yes, I knew. That's the one I was like, okay.
Don't deal with the devil. It basically looks like an old-timey Disney cartoon, except as like a run-and-gun, side-scrolling platformer.
Huh.
And they nailed the artwork down almost perfectly as far as all of the weird little creepy like demons and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, was that Fleischer cartoons?
Fleischer, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of style, I believe.
Yeah. It looks really cool. It might fail horribly. I have no idea, but this is definitely one of the biggest things that I have the biggest expectations for, just because it doesn't seem like something that would be impossible to do. It seems very doable, but doing it just right is what's really shined as far as the footage that I've seen so far.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it just, at least from the looks that I've seen too, it's just like, it looks like you're playing a cartoon.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's like you think of, okay, like South Park, play the South Park game. A lot of people mention, right. I haven't played, but like, oh, it looks like you're just playing an episode.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine that with this style. I mean, as soon as you see images of it and just like actually moving as a game, you're like, whoa, that's a game?
Right,
<That's>,
yeah. It looks wrong somehow until you see him like shooting. So yeah, I think it's Cupman Cuphead and Mugman, I believe, is the second player.
Uh-huh.
I sort of want to play as Mugman more, personally.
Co-op!
Hopefully. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely a big deal for me.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the imagery here. It's
That's it's pretty crazy, cool. Right?
Yeah, it's early era animation style, like probably around the 1930s era.
They got all the grain just right, and it's like a little bit sepia tone, like it's aged. Oh man.
And they also got like just just like even some of like little the fringing on the character and stuff, like it's been like transcoded off of a VHS tape that's been like watched like a couple hundred times before.
Yeah.
It's good. It looks really good. I had not heard of this until now, and I am going to have to go check this out because that looks really, really cool.
Yeah. There's not much to show right now. Yeah. But...
Yeah, it's one of those ones where every time they've shown like a B-roll or a collection of the indie games like coming to Xbox One, it's been in there.
Yeah.
It's like they haven't like singled it out so much and talk about it, but you see it and like, whoa, what the heck is that? Like,
yeah. And it has been guaranteed for this year. So.
Yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, they haven't given a release date yet, right? My guess is
actually they did. I don't have it on hand.
Was it more towards the end of the year?
I want to say it was like summer? May or March, one of those two.
Probably not March, because I think Ori and Scream Ride are coming out that month.
Okay,
it's possible.
Maybe May then.
But maybe they want to space some of them out, because I think April is State of Decay Year One edition or something. So maybe it'll be May. Maybe they'll space them out month or something like that. Mm-hmm. But nice.
Yeah, good choice. Dang.
All right.
I thought so.
So we're down to our number ones.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just tuning in, you missed a lot of what we were talking about. But I'll quickly go over mine. So I had 10. Star Wars Battlefront, 9, Ori and the Blind Forest, 8, Tales from the Borderlands, 7, Batman Arkham Knight, 6, Chappie, 5, Age of Ultron, 4, Witcher 3, Mad Max Fury Road makes number 3, and number 2 was Rise of the Tomb Raider for me. And now my number 1, which will probably be a surprise to no one who knows me.
Okay.
And it's a good chance that this might be number 1 for at least one other person on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars The Force Awakens.
What?
Yeah.
New Star Wars taking place after Return of the Jedi, so it's brand new stuff.
All new cast.
All new things. Like,
well, mostly new cast.
Yeah.
I'll just go ahead and admit right now, it's my number one also.
If it isn't, don't say anything. Right. Okay. All right, yeah. So you and I can go back and forth, but
right.
But yeah, the fact that they are bringing back Han Solo, Luke, Leia, and they're played by the same actors. Like,
it's kind of a big deal. Yeah.
The
thing that's gotten me so far is, I was completely hooked the moment they showed the new Stormtrooper helmet design, which was released like, I don't know, 6 months ago now, something like that.
Okay.
And at the time, it was the only nugget of anything that anybody had seen other than what looked like an AT-AT's foot peeking out of a tent. It was like that in the Stormtrooper helmet. And yeah, that alone just totally got me. I want to see every little thing that they changed. I love the subtlety of the design work, that they didn't go nuts like cramming a whole bunch of extra crud on it or anything like that. They made a nice simple design that still looks menacing, still looks like the original stuff, but definitely says this is a step forward. So
this isn't your father's Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right.
And like with Mad Max, it sounds like relying more on practical effects, real models.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I'm actually mixed on that. I'm interested to see the practical effects and how they turn out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, there are so many really good digital companies out there that as long as they nail it down and get it absolutely perfect, I don't have any problem with it anymore. And so, I'm I'm probably going to end up split like 50-50, like any given creature that shows up. I'm probably going to be like, oh, okay, I'm really glad that was a puppet versus like, that would have been a little bit cooler in CG.
Yeah. So. Well, I had no idea, but apparently that rolling droid
was a practical effect. Yeah.
I was like, whoa, I thought that was...
It's funny, I was brainstorming it as soon as I saw it. It's like, okay, I think I know how I could make that thing if I wanted to. And sure enough, yeah, and somebody actually made the thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I've loved Star Wars ever since a little kid, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, love it. So it's no surprise, like,
yeah.
When, yeah. I know it's the end of the year, but it's going to be awesome. I mean, it's like... I can't imagine it being worse than The Phantom Menace, which is, you know, yeah. For a lot of people, like, they absolutely hate. I still like elements of that one. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with the prequel. They're not the greatest movies ever, but it's still more Star Wars. It still puts a smile on my face.
They are what they are.
Yeah, so more Star Wars, that's new stuff. Give it to me. I'm ready. I'll take it.
To me, what shined about that was all of the art and design work that went into it.
Yeah.
And it's actually one thing that made me really happy is Lucas's neurosis about how he has to have every single thing just the way he wants it.
Yeah.
Because it meant that he spent tons and tons of time brainstorming every little element in the thing, which means tons of drawings for the art books that I collect.
Yes.
Yeah. So that made me very happy. And I have a feeling it's not going to be anywhere near as heavy on the production, like ramp up stuff on this movie. So that's the one thing I'm also kind of nervous about, is I want a really good art book out of this. So
yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, since Disney's going gung-ho with standalone ones in between and these, that they're building, I assume they're kind of building that universe as it rolls along, so you might get more and more as it goes.
Well, but I'll give a for instance, since it is Disney, and Disney is effectively part of the Marvel stuff right now, is
all the way around, but yeah.
effectively, they...
Yeah,
they make the movies. So, anyway, Guardians of the Galaxy, I thought it had a really cool look to it, and just absolutely perfect how the movie turned out and everything, but I feel like it kind of cheated me out of art book. I think that came down to the director a lot too, but it felt like they got an idea and they just went straight to the thing instead of just really completely stressing out about every little thing. So you don't see tons of iterations of things, which doesn't probably sound like a big deal at first, but when you think about all of the stuff that you ended up seeing in the Clone Wars cartoons, almost all of that stuff is the cast-offs from the prequel movies. So
it's possible that since Guardians was new, with Star Wars being an established brand already, that more merchandising stuff that they can sell might have a good chance. But anyway, that's our number one. The last number one of the night goes to Caleb.
Usagi Yojimbo Saga Volume 2.
I was not expecting
that. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Usagi Yojimbo.
I know.
I mean, I'm familiar with the character, but I'm not. Okay.
Yeah. Since Stansakai has finally come back to making comics all the time, he relaunched Usagi Yojimbo as Usagi Yojimbo Tensho, I think. And anyways.
And why wasn't he doing it for a while?
Stepped away for a while to take care of his wife, who recently passed away from brain cancer.
Okay. That's why it's a big deal.
Yes. It's like two very big deals. One, he came back, and two, it was a tragic loss. And he's pretty much the nicest guy in comics. By almost everyone's standard. I have a memory of interacting with him years and years ago. Yes.
Okay.
Which kind of cements my and everything I've heard about him since then cements my opinion of him from that time. Wish I could go back in time and tell myself, this guy's really cool, go talk to him. Don't just send it like a frightened teenage dork like you are. But anyway, the Usagi Yojimbo Saga is their Eisner Award winning comics. He is one of the best visual storytellers out there. It's fantastic. The and they've started collecting together the publications that he did through Dark Horse into single volumes. They are fantastic value. They're not very expensive, and they are full of really, really good storytelling. You almost forget, you kind of forget the fact that you have anthropomorphic creatures as the main characters, because the stories are just that compelling. The characters are just that good.
And this drops?
March 10th.
Oh, okay. So soon. You don't have to wait that long for your number one. Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, I think I knew we'd have some similarities. I figured, you know, maybe different numbering, which happened, and obviously some stayed the same, but definitely some few nice surprises in there as well.
I will say practically all of the ones that you guys mentioned.
They probably fall into honorable mention. Yeah,
ended up
whatnot,
on my list, my somewhere. Backlog.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's been our each top tens. We'd like to hear what you're looking forward to in the coming year. And Caleb, how can they do that?
If you would like to get in contact with us, you can do that on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, or if you prefer Twitter, you can go to twitter.com/robotsattackme. Our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you want one place, one thing to remember, robotsattack.me. Everything that we've talked about that I mentioned just a second ago is linked from there. And you can also leave comments, check out archive episodes, find out what we liked about 2014 and what we were looking forward to and how that ranked up to how it turned out.
Yeah, it all went horribly wrong.
Or horribly right, depending on how you look at it. Anyways, check it out. It's good stuff.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's show. We'll be back next week. More Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Have a wonderful week and weekend. We're out of here.
Raccoon, Verona, Mixto.